Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Markman Madness on this glorious Monday. My name is Mark Heffernan. The show is produced by Mark Mancini of Mancini Media. And my email sites, sportswrapnet at yahoo.com or markheff20 at gmail.com. That's M-A-R-K-H-E-F-F-20 at gmail.com. Sportswrapnet, S-P-O-R-T-S-R-A-P-N-E-T at yahoo.com. Is that too fast for you? Because I'm a man on a mission. Okay. By the way, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Your Los Angeles Kings, the LA Kings, scored four goals. Maybe Edmonton yesterday, 4-0. That series tied at 2-2. The Kings are the third seed, and the Oilers number two in the West. It's round one, game four. Let's go, Kings. Come on now. Sonoma State scored eight runs on the top of the sixth and beat CSU Monterey Bay 10-5 in the CCAA softball championship in Seaside on Sunday. The fourth CCA title for head coach Jennifer Bridges. Seven Seawolves at RBIs. Talk about a team effort. 4-16 Sonoma State. We'll find out today that they'll play in the West Regional. Congratulations to Sonoma State. CCA baseball, Cal State Monterey Bay leading with a record of 31-9, 36-13 overall. Chico State, the Wildcats, 27-12 and 34-14. And Cal Poly Pomona, the Broncos. Have you ever tried the Bronco ride? I haven't. 27-12 and 32-17. The CCA baseball tourney is Wednesday through Saturday of this week. 2CAA, CCAA. In Pac-12 baseball, Oregon State, 18-6, leads the conference by three over Stanford. The Beavers, 38-9 for the year. Stanford, 15-9 and 29-14. Arizona, UCLA, 14-10. The Bruins did not have a good weekend. Arizona, 33-17. UCLA, 30-17. The Bruins beat Arizona State last week. I thought they were getting it together. 19-2, 7-5, and 11-5. Then, since then, they lost four straight. They got beat by Long Beach State. Then they were swept by Washington in Seattle. 7-1, 5-4, and 4-3. The runs, man. How many runs is that? Eight runs in three games? I know ASU doesn't have great pitching, but look how much they scored against them. Okay, whatever. They're at Cal State Fullerton tomorrow, and they will host Washington State Friday at Jackie Robinson Stadium. Pac-12 tourney will take place in Scottsdale, Arizona this year. So what do you think about that? Okay. Bella Loomis hit a game-time three-run double in the sixth. Emily Cazares whacked a three-run walk-off homer in the seventh as ASU defeated UCLA 6-3 to win 2-3 in that series at Tempe. This is in softball. So UCLA swept Arizona State in baseball, but ASU came back to knock down the Bruins, the Lady Bruins in softball. Now, the Bruins are the most hyped team in the Pac-12. I'm a fan of them, but they haven't been playing that well lately. They got beat back-to-back games against Stanford 1-0. That was a couple of weeks ago. And then they lost to Utah 8-0 the weekend and needed to win 2 out of 3 at Arizona State to tie the Sun Devils for the lead, but didn't get it done because they gave up six runs in the last two innings. Six, three in the sixth, three in the seventh. Okay. Cazares, by the way, she played for Buchanan High and Clovis here in my section, the central section. Clovis, just east of Fresno, is a big game for Emily. Six runs for the Sun Devils. Right now they're 18-3 in the conference. 37-8 overall. UCLA at 16-5 and 14-8. Very inconsistent recently, the Bruins. They don't want to talk to me. In Washington, 13-8 and 34-13. The Big West Conference baseball standings. UCSB, the Gauchos, 21-3, 33-11 overall. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo along the Central Coast. A rival of theirs, 14-7 and 27-20. And then Hawaii, 13-8 and 22-20. Take a look at the Mammoth Conference baseball standings. UNLV's been on top for most of the season. 17-7, the Rebels, 32-18 for the year. Nevada at 13-9, 25-21. And San Jose State, 15-12 and 26-22. Fresno State's about a 500 team, 12-12 and 24-24. What's that going to get you? Well, you can advance to the Mammoth Conference tournament. But doesn't everybody get into the conference tournament? To me, Krause can do better than that, a 500 team. Come on now. They move their players to other schools. Mountain West Conference softball. San Diego State, the Aztecs, 8-10-3. That's playing ball. That's winning. 35-13. My sister's alma mater, Lisa, and Elsa Bronte. They're getting it done. In softball, at least. Not in baseball. Boise State, 16-5 and 37-10. Having a good time today. Okay. Major League Baseball today. The Pirates, the Buccos. They've lost 23 of the last 25 against those Los Angeles Dodgers. But the Pirates are winning 1-0. I think the Dodgers have, what, two hits over five innings today, something like that? They're not supporting Julio Urias this year. Last year, he won a lot of games, 9-3, 6-2, 7-4. It's difficult for them to score one run for the guy. He's not pitching more than five or six innings. A lot of no decisions, 2-1 coming in. Rays and Angels, Cubs, Padres, the Flyers, Rockies and Giants. I don't like them. The Brew Crew and the Reds and the A's and the Tigers, Phillies, Mariners, Marlins, D-backs. Okay, a couple of finals. Baltimore, 6. Royals, 1. Yankees, 1. And Texas, nothing. The Yanks, now 20-8. The best record in baseball. Grizzle have the only RBI. Cortez pitched 7 1/3. No runs, 1 hit. He doesn't get the decision. It goes to Holmes, who's 4-0. Grizzle drove in a run after Cortez left the game. So the Yankees this year are winning tight games. They're winning low-scoring games and are blown-out teams. So they're showing a lot of versatility. Good pitching, though, overall. Okay, NBA playoffs, Western Conference. What do you think? Number 2, Grizzlies against number 3, Warriors. Now, Golden State leads that series 2-1. John Morant, is he out for tonight? They said he is. Will he play? I don't know. Do they need him? Yeah. But the Grizzlies play more team-oriented offense when John's not in the game. I think during the course of the regular season, they're like 15-3 without him. He tends to control the ball too much, very much like Luka Doncic of Dallas. Doesn't get other guys involved. One guy's not going to beat Golden State or a very good team. Houston Conference, Mancini, his team. The number 3, Bucks, fear of the deer against the Celtics. Celtics 1-2 in the series. Bucks 2-1, a must-win for Boston, even though I don't want them to win the series. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm not really a fan of the Bucks, but nevertheless, it is 2-1 Milwaukee, and they're playing a game right now. WNBA, Aces 2-0 against the Mystics, who are 2-0. Lynx, who lost both their games against the FIBA, who are 0-2. Major League Baseball standings. Let's take a look. AL East, Yankees now 20-8. The Rays at 18-11. AL Central, the Twins, 18-11. But here come the White Sox. As they got off to a bad start, they are 14-13 right now, so they're ready to make their mark. I picked them to win that division. I picked the Toronto to win the East, and they're struggling so far. AL West, Shohei Ohtani, doubled to tie it up last night. And then Rendon had a walk-off single. Angels at 19-11, leading the AL West. But guess who's in second place? Located Astros, 18-11. They always seem to be around. Got rid of the shortstop signed a free agent contract. Correa all those years. Bringer for about 3 or 4 seasons. They're still winning. Okay. National League East, the Mets, 20-10. 14-16 are the Braves. I have them winning that division. In the National League Central, the Brew Crew, 19-10. And the Cardinals at 16-12. The National League West, the Dodgers. The Dodgers. Los Doyers, 19-7. The Padres, 19-10. They play more games. And, of course, the Dodgers losing to Pittsburgh tonight. Those lowly Bucks. We're getting them back. They lost 23 of the last 25 against the Dodgers. The Bucks want to win. They're 11-16 this year. Okay. 2022, 3 CFCA softball. Mount SAC at 32-3. This is going back to April 20th. I could not find rankings for this week for some reason. Butte, 35-1. Hey, when you're 35-1 in division, you're a darn good football team or baseball team or softball team. That's a great record. College of San Mateo, 33-2. The championships are at Bakersfield College. I refer to them as BC here in Bakersfield, northeast area, and that's May 19th through the 22nd. Okay. Triple C, Double A, ball championships at Folsom Lake, and that's May 28th through the 30th, Memorial Day weekend. And Baseball poll has Ohlone, O-H-L-N-E, Salaback from Orange County, and Glendale at 1-2-3. Love that name. Ohlone, O-H-L-N-E, Ohlone. Let's see, what do we got here? I'm getting a lot of area codes. And from Huntington Beach, let's go Padres. Have a game tomorrow against the Cubs. Chase you down, Hef, man. Okay, chase me down. No, you're chasing the Dodgers, not me. Cabby, what's Cabby? Giants going to win the division. What division? They're going to win the National League West, Cabby? Are you kidding me? Really? Okay. Holiday hell on Mother's Day. 14 killed across the country. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's bad. That's tragic. Maybe people in a hurry to get from one place to the other. A lot of people driving around. Maybe some people drink too much alcohol. That's tough. Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer's on. Jennifer's on. This is Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. And our number, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan, host of the show, MMM. We're on until 6 p.m. We have a 90-minute show coming up late in May. With me is the executive director of the CCCAA, Jennifer Cardone. Welcome to Markman Madness.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, and it's Ohlone College out of Fremont, California, that you were referring to
Ohlone?
Just a few minutes ago.
Ohlone. So the long E. Okay. Now, they're in
Ohlone.
Fremont. You're talking, they're in the Oakland area, right?
Yep, Bay Area, yep.
And how long have they been a top softball baseball power?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I know that they have, I believe, three losses this season. So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're in the mix every year. But, they're having an outstanding year this year.
Yeah, they are. You were a college softball shortstop. That must have been exciting. You got to the College World Series in 1988. That must have been a great experience.
It was a fantastic experience and one that I still wax poetic over. Every so often with my teammates and anybody who will listen, actually. it really was. It was a tremendous experience, a tremendous opportunity. I cherish those memories. We weren't expected to get there. That's why you play the game. We were the number 17 seed. They were number 3. It was Oklahoma State, and we beat them in Stillwater to get to the College World Series. So we were 2 in barbecue, but we made it, so that's okay.
What were the best aspects of your game as a softball player?
Definitely not offense. I was more of a Bud Harrelson type of shortstop.
I'm sure nobody's asked you that question for a while, right? I ask questions nobody's asked you probably for 20, 25, or 30 years.
That's
something like
fine.
That.
We'll see how the memory goes. But, yeah, I was definitely – I had an arm, I had a glove, I had range. I had coaches tell me to get the cab off my back, take a cab, get the piano off the back, you know. So I did okay. I grew up a Mets fan, so Bud Harrelson, that's who I idolized, him and Tom Seaver.
Oh, yeah. You must have a good overall team there. Is it
Adelphi University. Yep.
Adelphi University,
Adelphi University, it's a small private liberal arts college on Long Island, and they're D2 now. They were D1 when I was there, and actually they're in the D2, I believe they're in the D2 mix as well, might even be hosting regionals. So
you earned your undergraduate degree from there in 1990. You were the starting shortstop. The team advanced to the Women's College World Series. You earned your master's in educational administration from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in 2000. Mm-hmm. So you're an intellectual. I talked to a lot of intellectuals on this team, on this program. I'm not an intellectual, but I like to sound like I am.
Well, I do the same thing, Mark, so we're good.
My daughter's going for a master's in social work. Now, she's working in that field right now, but she went to the University of Oregon, graduated, I can't believe, in 2018, and my son was more into computer graphics. So they're a little bit different in that sense. She was better in English, but I think he knew calculus and everything. He's about 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Those are both great fields to go into.
Yeah, it is. It is. But there's a lot of competition in that field. But you understand that college athletics can provide opportunities for student athletes in life, don't you?
Oh, firsthand I do. I wouldn't have gone to college without the opportunity to play softball. Nobody in my family had gone to college before. Say that again?
But Jennifer, Jennifer, a lot of people tell me, oh, Mark, sports is not that important. We know you like it, Mark, but we're not really into it. And, you know, sports doesn't do that much for a person once they get out of high school or college. They, you know, tell me that, and I said, really? I have my disagreements with certain people that are just kind of academically inclined, and they don't think sports are really that important. So, obviously, they don't listen to my program, and they don't hear me broadcast games. They're not part of my fans. They're not my fan base.
Well, we you know, nothing you can do about that. Don't waste your energy on them. Just focus on the people
that
you can focus on.
I like classical music. I like Bach and Beethoven. And when I first got into radio, I was a classical music announcer and also did jazz and blues. So I'm kind of like a well-rounded. But I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and he remembers me from working in radio here locally and doing sports shows. I said, well, I'm still doing quite a bit of sports, but it's not my only love. It's just sometimes you get put into a box, and people think you're just a sports person, where I've done a lot of news and public affairs and like I said, jazz and classical. This is before people really knew me in the area. Even though I'm from Bakersfield, I actually left when a Fresno Houston came back. But there's a lot more elements to me, just like there's more elements to you. You're much more than just a colored shortstop. You want to really use that to put an imprint on your life, and you've done very well. Executive director of the CCCAA, that's got to be a hard position to attain.
It is. I was fortunate enough that I served as the interim for a couple of years before that I was already in the association. I was the director of membership services. So I had a chance to get to know the association. My predecessor stepped down in December of 2019. I took over on January 1st, 2020, and then the pandemic hit. And so I, if there's a silver lining in the pandemic, I think it gave me a chance to show what I could do and my leadership skills, my communication skills, my transparency, and I think it worked out well in the end. It's been a long haul, but we're through. We've got championships moving along, and we're excited. We're excited for the last 3 weeks of the year, basically. We end on Memorial Day Monday.
Well, you're assistant AD and also associate AD at University of California, Davis, 1997 through 2013, a long stay there. And I know you joined the CCAA in 2014. At Davis, there was 27 intercollegiate sports, and you oversaw the school's transition from D2 to D1. What was that like?
It was much like the work in the pandemic, you know, to be honest with you. It was a lot of work, but also very fulfilling. That was not a transition that we took lightly. We did have 27 sports at the time, and you know, we all pitched in. We all got it done. And that's what being in athletics is all about, right? It's teamwork, being on a team, making each other better, and that's what we did.
So as a shortstop, were you one of the leaders of your team?
I like to think I was, yeah.
Were you like a co-captain or tri-captain?
You know, that's a long time ago, my friend. I think I might have been a captain, but I don't remember. We'll just say I was.
Well,
how about that?
Well, generally, when you're a shortstop, you're the defensive leader of the team, you and the catcher. And so a lot of catchers, as you know, become baseball managers and probably become softball coaches because they see the field differently than the other players do. And it seems like they make excellent managers and have for a long time. Shortstop, you're looking at the field from a different angle than the fans do. So I've seen the baseball field from both standpoints as a player, being a shortstop, pitcher and shortstop early on, and then a second baseman shortstop, then short and third, and then as a broadcaster and coaching baseball, we're looking at it from a different avenue, a different perspective. And now I'm always looking at it from the perspective of the fan, which I guess can get kind of it's okay. I have a game Thursday at a school here in town. They haven't been playing that well lately, but prior to the game, I'm out there talking with the players and the coaches, and we have a young lady that sings the national anthem at Liberty High School. And I walk, you know, back and forth from the home team to the visiting team and talk to the coaches. I look out on the field and there's something inside me says, I want to get out there and play again.
Oh, yeah.
But I probably don't play as well as I'd like to play, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Jennifer Cardona is my guest on Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our number 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan. Jennifer, that, like you said, was probably an ordeal when you oversaw the school, UC Davis is not transitioned from D2 to D1. I know that Cal State Bakersfield went through that at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you monitored an athletic grant and aid program of $6 million. So that would be kind of trying.
It was, but again, I wasn't alone on an island. I had help. I had a staff. I had, you know, the coaches were just as responsible. We, you know, we worked in conjunction with one another. And, you know, I mean, I oversaw the compliance part of that transition. There were lots of other avenues to think about, like fiscal and facilities, staffing, all of those things. So my piece was just basically the compliance piece of it.
Explain what compliance is. I don't know what the word means, but that's something that's very important in college athletics now. And I know that I think Bakersfield College had some issues a while back which affected their football team in the state championship. But explain what you do or you did as a compliance director and how many people were involved as far as helping you.
Right. So I had two people on staff aside from me. But again, compliance is a shared responsibility, so it's everybody in the department, right? Whether you're a head coach or the volunteer assistant coach or the equipment room manager, athletic trainer, sports information director. And basically, compliance is it's following the rules, and it's doing your best to follow those rules. Sometimes you forget rules, so maybe a violation's been has occurred because you forgot something or because something happened that you weren't anticipating, and so you were caught off guard. We've had that happen, like a dead period where, you know, prospective student athletes in D1, D2, D3, they can't go onto a campus if it's considered a dead period. Well, sometimes a kid will show up uninvited, unannounced, and there you have a violation. So it's really, you know, there's all these rules, and, you know, everybody's seeing all the rules around the NIL conversation with D1, with the NCAA, and there are rules about everything, scholarship limits, recruiting, eligibility, practice and playing seasons, it runs the gamut. And so compliance is basically overseeing, monitoring, documenting, and educating. That's really what we strive to do is educate so that those violations are minimized or don't happen or are kind of avoided, if you will. So we try to head it off at the pass.
Well, I played baseball at Cuesta College in San Luis Obispo. Are you saying that I could not go to a dance at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo back in the day?
Did you say a dance?
Yeah, a dance. Is that okay? Because I'm on the campus. But that's okay, right? That's not considered a campus visit.
If you were going to a dance, you couldn't have gone to the athletic department.
No, I did.
Probably wasn't during a dead period then. At least we hope it wasn't.
Okay, well, that was a long time ago.
Dead periods are usually pretty short for most sports.
Uh-huh.
It's like a week here and there. At least they were. It's been a while since I've been in an NCAA school. So I'm not
my brother wanted me to ask you this question. Apparently, is there some form that students or an athletic department has to fill out when they bring in athletes for a year? Let's talk about football. And are there some forms that a student athlete has to fill out if they're from outside of the region or outside of the state?
You're talking about 3C2A forms or are you talking about institutional forms?
No, I think it's 3C2A forms.
Yeah, we have what we call a Form C, which is an educational document that we use to inform out-of-state students of the costs to attend a particular institution, and also kind of a brief, how would I put it, a brief synopsis. Well, no, it's not really a synopsis. It's just basically I don't even want to call it a warning. It's a statement about residency, because a lot of kids think they can come here, go to school, and get residency all at the same time, and that's not the case. So it's a document that we use as an educational tool.
Well, the local college here got into trouble, I think it was last year, because there were some forms that had to be filled out, and the athletic director allegedly didn't know about it. You know, I guess it was an athletic secretary that there was a problem there, and they had to forfeit about three games late in the year, the football team. So I don't know exactly what forms they were, but apparently I want to ask you, do most community colleges have a compliance director, or is that the job of the athletic department to make sure that everybody's eligible?
Ultimately,
it's a part of the AD, but do they have somebody else, a compliance director person, at most community colleges in California?
Not at most of our schools. Usually the dean or athletic director, and then they have an administrative assistant. There's also usually an eligibility specialist that's over in the admissions and records area. And some of our schools might have somebody who's in charge of compliance. I know of a few. And then some of our schools are fortunate enough that they have assistant or associate athletic directors who might oversee that area or might assist with that area. But a lot of our places are very small as far as infrastructure. You know, I like to say that when I speak to people about what the 3C2A is, I first ask them, have you ever heard of the NCAA? And they usually say yes. 99 times out of 100, they say yes. And I said, well, we're like them, but for California community colleges, but without the staff or the money.
Okay, very good. So as many schools, you will not have a compliance director person. You'll probably have maybe two or three people that will look into that, because it's a very important aspect of junior college sports in California now. I mean, if you have a football or basketball program, especially a football team, and you have to forfeit two or three games down the stretch, then, you know, somebody's at fault, not necessarily the players. And maybe your school has a new athletic director that came in, and that person probably is aware of those forms but kind of let it slide and delegate all the authority to an administration secretary, athletic secretary.
Compliance is handled differently on each campus.
Yeah, as long as somebody gets the job done right, properly. Isn't that true? That's the main thing.
Yes, we always strive to get things done correctly. Yeah, that is correct.
Jennifer Cardone, the executive director of the CCAA, what are your aspirations for the next year?
To not have to deal with COVID. Oh, am I allowed to say that out loud?
Yes, ma'am, of course.
It would be nice if COVID was really, if our COVID requirements that we've had and protocols and all of that, not to say that we're going to throw everything out the window, because I do think we need to do some things to remain safe, but it would be nice if we did not have a COVID forfeit or a COVID cancellation to deal with. You know, first and foremost, I think we'd like to get as back to normal as possible. That's what we're kind of looking for over the next year, is just to get back to normal, whatever that new normal is. But it's been a long 2 years.
I work out on the north side of the Bakersfield College campus, so I don't wear a mask there. Are masks still needed, mandated in classrooms at community colleges? Or is that a district-wide type of thing?
That's a district or a campus-wide policy at this point, because the statewide policy has been lifted.
And that makes you happy, right?
Yes, it does. Although, you know, I understood why we needed to wear the mask, and I wore the mask wherever I needed to wear it. You know, I understood that it was helping. Especially early on, it was helping people that weren't as healthy as others. And you know, I know a few people that got COVID, and actually one of my cousins passed away from it. You know, we did what we needed to do. Nothing was easy about the last 2+ years. And we came out of it pretty good. Like I said, we've got our championships going, and we're very happy about that.
You've had the softball championships at Bakersfield College for quite a few years, haven't you?
Yes, they have been there in the past, and then they went south for a little bit, further south, I should say, and now they're back at Bakersfield. Yep.
Good facilities.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'll be down there on Championship Saturday and Championship Sunday, so I'm looking forward to it.
Watch out. You're going to be there. All right.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Now, you're a former softball player, so that's probably your favorite sport, right, to watch?
I don't watch a lot of softball as much as it pains me to admit it. I just don't.
Okay.
But I grew up a baseball fan, so I still love a good 1-0 pitcher's duel. I'm so mm-hmm. not the type of fan that there is today with all the home runs, but I love a pitcher's duel. So, but, you know, I'll take the run scoring, too.
Well, the batting averages are down in baseball, Major League Baseball right now, so if you're having more pitcher's duels, if you check out most of the teams, there's a lot of poor hitters, a lot of guys hitting under 200 through 25 games, 27 games in the season. This has been the lowest batting average in the National League since the early 60s. You know, the Dodgers are 19-7. Half their guys are having lousy years at the plate. Their pitching's been great.
Right.
Pitching's been great, but a lot of guys are having career season lows and everything. They're going to come out of it, and I don't know about that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But for a team that's 19-7, you think you would have more than one player batting over 300, and that's all they have. I look at the Yankees are 20-8, and Judge is about 284, and LeMahieu is 284. They got a couple guys hitting under 200 in their starting lineup. Rizzo is driving in runs, but he's down to about 240. He drove their only run today in their 1-0 game. They're winning low-scoring games, the Yankees in high-scoring games. They're learning how to do it in both ways, and their pitching is much better than people thought. And as far as softball, are softball scores higher now than they were 5 years ago or about the same?
I honestly don't know, Mark.
Well, you know,
I honestly don't
know. Think about UCLA gave up 6 runs combined in the 6th and 7th inning yesterday and lost to Arizona State 6-3. And a girl who went to Buchanan High School in Clovis had a walk-off 3-run shot in the 7th inning. So that's 6-5 game. But a lot of the games you see 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. I guess it depends on who you're pitching against, who you're batting against, and what's going on. Kind of a combination.
Yeah.
It seems like the top teams like Oklahoma, Alabama, sometimes UCLA, they can put runs together. But then there's a lot of games that are 1-0 and 2-1. I remember UCLA lost to Stanford in back-to-back games 1-0. That was like about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that kind of started their slight, I wouldn't say big-time downfall, but UCLA, who I'm a fan of, they kind of struggled a little bit since then, and they had to win 2 out of 3 yesterday to tie Arizona State for the lead in the Pac-12. And they lost that key game 6-5, so now ASU's up by 2 games with about, I don't know if there's 3 games left, something like that. But
yeah, there shouldn't be too much left. That's amazing that UCLA is sliding because they've always been a powerhouse.
Well, they're good. No, they're 14-8. Their record's fine. But they were the last team that was undefeated in the Pac-12, and they had a 2-game lead maybe a month ago. Now they're down by 2 games. And I guess Arizona State came out of nowhere. Maybe they had some good recruits because I didn't think that they had that outstanding of a softball team. But they just kind of got hot when UCLA slid. But 2 games against Stanford hurt UCLA. Well, they didn't score a run for 2 games. Arizona State caught them, passed them up. So you never know. Obviously, in that sport, you play a lot of games. It's about being hot at the right time. Jennifer, do you know if there are any favorites to win the Triple C 2A softball championship, or is it kind of like a, as they would say, a crapshoot? There are maybe 4 or 5 teams that have a chance to win that.
I think there's a few teams because that's why you play the game, right? Go back to what we talked about in the beginning. I was on a number 17 team at number 3. We played the game. We won. We went on. So I think you're going to be surprised at how it plays out, both in any of our sports, baseball and softball. I think you'll be surprised.
I know that the Orange Coast College women three-peated in swimming, and they've won 21 state titles. And Sierra Collins, the men, won their 3rd overall swimming championship in back-to-back. That's pretty good. So Orange Coast College OCC has had a great program over the years.
Yeah, they have. You could probably say dynasty to some degree.
That is dynasty, definitely.
Yeah.
21?
Definitely a dynasty.
I did 1 game there at OCC Stadium. I think it was a high school game between Modern Day and Orange Lutheran High School years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And that was a defensive struggle. It wasn't a Modern Day team you see now that scores a lot of points and everything. It was more like about a 13-10 game, very hard hitting. But that OCC Stadium is very old school, kind of big and spacious. Very much like LA Valley College in Southern California. But that's amazing when 21 state titles. I know it's kind of a swimmer's haven down there, but you still got to get the athletes and got to have the coaching. And one thing that I was reading about Sierra College today is that, unfortunately, their co-coach, Bruce Hasty, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So he could not, he was not there for their championship yesterday. So that's a great win, but very much on a sad note.
Right. That totally is a sad note. My thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family.
But you know what, we talk about the athletes and the schools and the ADs and things like that. There are a lot of outstanding coaches in community college sports. Look how many sports that you oversee in your position and how many people that are involved, like you were saying, as your job as executive director of the 3C2A, you have a great team around you. And, of course, being a former athlete, you know how important teamwork is. One person can't do it all, whether it's a sport or an administration. One person may get the positive vibes if things go right, then the negative things if things go wrong, but there's a lot of people involved. And it definitely does take a village, doesn't it, to be successful, either in sports or administration.
Or in life. I mean, it really does. I mean, you can't do everything alone. It's just not possible. And we do have a ton of great coaches and have had a ton of great coaches in our association. We have over 1,300 teams each year.
Wow.
And that's, think about it, that's a lot of coaches.
That's a lot.
A lot of dedication.
You know, I think coaching is more important at the youth, junior high, high school, and JC level than it is in college and in pros. In pros, the players make 10 times more than the coaches. Half the time, they don't listen. But I think teaching, coaching is more important when the student athletes are younger. I do a lot of youth football in the area, and, of course, these kids are anywhere from probably 8 to 15. Then you see them in high school and then junior college and then on beyond that. But coaching is so important from a mentorship for student athletes from 20 years and younger.
I would agree. I think we have – a chance to have an impact, to influence when kids are younger, when people are younger. The coaches that I have had are still near and dear to me to this day, even though I am nowhere near a youth. And their words still come back to me. They still have influence in my life. I still want to make them proud. When I got the job, I called my old softball coach and to tell that I got the permanent job. So, it's an important role. It's an important role that we do take seriously, and we need to understand the impact that we have, because we have to be careful with how we handle that. That's a lot of power.
That's true. That's true. Well, Jennifer, when you talked about your mentors as an athlete, who have been some of your key mentors in administration?
Well, there are some people within the 3C2A, and then there are some people outside of the 3C2A. Outside of the 3C2A, I go back to my time at UC Davis. Well, actually, I go back to the University of Nebraska. Barbara Hibner was a former women's athletic director, and by the time I worked with her, she was a senior women's administrator. She taught me all about right and wrong, integrity. I mean, not that I didn't have that already, but in an intercollegiate athletic setting. And then when I got to UC Davis, Pam Gill Fisher was my immediate supervisor, also the senior female administrator. And then Greg Warzeka was our athletic director, and he was a great influence on me, still is. They all still influence me in some way. Within the 3C2A, Tanoi Bandy, who is the athletic director at Taft College.
Yep. I know her.
She's a wonderful person with great perspective, and there are others who, of course, I'm blanking on right now, but I try
That's
to take
okay.
something from everybody to whether it's people in my building, on my staff, or people that I'm interacting with, whether it's coaches, athletic directors, deans, it doesn't matter. Our CEOs, I try to learn from all of them.
Jennifer Cardone, the executive director of the 3C2AA, and my guest today on Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio. How can people get in touch with you?
Our email address. Well, I got an email address, and we've got Twitter pages,
That's good. Got
Facebook. What are you looking for?
Anything, whatever you like. Email or Facebook is fine.
The Facebook. You know, we have our handles for the 3C2A on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And then email is jcardone, J-C-A-R-D-O-N-E, at cccaasports.org.
And the baseball championships are at Folsom Lake, right? Memorial Day weekend. That should
yep.
be exciting.
Oh, I cannot wait. Like I said, I could probably like watching baseball a little bit better than I like softball, but maybe because I'd rather be playing softball. Actually, I'd probably be rather playing both. But, we are so excited to be back on the field. But also, the quality of community college baseball is top-notch. And so it should be great competition. And, you're going to see some future major leaguers out there. Without a doubt, you're going to see future major leaguers.
Well, you know, Jennifer, I played baseball through junior college and college, and then played a little bit of softball after that. I prefer to play that sport than broadcast it. My favorite sport to broadcast or announce is still probably football, with number two being basketball. But I love
mm-hmm.
track and field. Track and field always took a secondary thing with me because I was a baseball player in high school. I never had a chance to really practice much, but I did compete in a couple of meets and did okay. But I wish I would have had coaching throughout, off and on throughout 3 months, where I could have
sure.
done better in some of the league meets. But they didn't really allow me to do that back then. I only ran track after baseball season. Well, I'd say with maybe a week to go, let's get out there and run about 500s, and let's practice with a baton doing the relay. Did that sophomore, junior, and senior year. I kind of practiced with the Fresno State team 1 year there, but the guys were faster than me, but we were timed in the 40-yard dash, and I finished third or fourth out of six guys running, so I wasn't the slowest on the team. But I'll tell you one thing. Track practice is very hard compared to baseball practice. Man, you work your butt. It's tough, especially when you're a baseball player. No, really, it's totally different, running from home to first or home to second base
right.
as opposed to track practice and all the intricate type of drills and things like that. I wasn't used to that. But, it's been so many years for me, but I really wish that I would have had a chance to maybe go to practice a couple of times in the spring. I wouldn't bother my baseball ability. Go to a couple of practices maybe or one practice a week for 3 or 4 months. When I was
mm-hmm.
time for the league meet, I probably would have done better. My legs would have been in better shape to run track with those spikes because, I went from
sure.
the baseball thing to the track and back to baseball. And I still 20 bases and 21 attempts, but still has baseball speed as opposed to track speed. And I know
right.
the difference in the two.
Yeah,
I tried to run the 200 my senior year. I totally died. I don't know why I ran so many events. I ran the opening leg of the relay. And we got third. Ran a heat of the 100 and won my heat. Then I ran the final of the 100 and got fourth. The guy beat me to the last 5 or 7 yards. All the top three guys were track people. I just didn't quite have it the last 10 yards. I was trying, but your legs tighten up. Then he had me
yep.
in the 220 or 200, and I just died down the stretch. I mean, it was embarrassing. My legs tightened up. I just couldn't move. I thought to myself, why did you do so much? I had a baseball game the day before, had a baseball game the following day, and I think I got thrown out trying to steal either the day before that track meet or the last day of the regular season. But I was
and now
not,
you
I was
know why your
just,
coach. Now you
yeah.
know why your coach didn't let you play, didn't let you run track.
You're probably right. You're probably right. Jennifer Cardone, thanks a lot for being on the program. Take care.
It was my pleasure. Thank you, Mark.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to Mark Men Madness here on Blog Talk Radio, driven by Mancini Media. Our producer is Mark Mancini. I'm Mark Heffernan. My email sites, sportswrapnet@yahoo.com or markheff20@gmail.com. Jennifer Cardone, the executive director of the California Community College Athletic Association, otherwise known as CCCAA, which is easier for me to say than spell it out. Sometimes I say it well, other times not so much. Okay, well, my questions today. I have been checking for a while. Who are you picking in tonight's Major League Baseball games? The Dodgers and Pirates. Who do you like? Rays and Angels. Cubs, Padres. We know Ann wants the Padres. She thinks they're going to win every game. Rockies, Giants. Cali goes for the Giants every game. The Brewers, the Reds, A's, Tigers, Phillies. And let's see, the Marlins, D-backs. Phillies are playing the Mariners. They're off to a rough start this year. I picked the Mariners in the American League West. Looking at the standings again, Yankees won today, 1-0. So they have, their record is 20-8. They're winning close games, well-pitched games. They're blowing out teams from time to time. The Yankees, if you look at, like, I looked at their batting averages, much like the Dodgers prior to the game, and the Yankees do not have one guy hitting over 300. The Dodgers have Freddie Freeman about 320, but the Yankees have a couple of guys, I think one or two under 200 or hovering around 200. The Dodgers the same way. Neither team is really hitting a lot of home runs, yet Rizzo and Judge probably have as many home runs combined as the entire Dodgers team. As you know, the Dodgers have been one of the top home run hitting teams in Major League Baseball for 5 or 6 years. Mookie Betts leads them with 5. He got a late start. Freeman only has 3. And some of the guys only have 1 or 2. A few of the stars have not hit a home run yet, so a different season. But both teams have many batters struggling this year, but they're winning because of great starting pitching and bullpen. Now, Aroldis Chapman has 7 saves for the Yankees right now. Today's game, it was Cortez who went 7 in the third, no runs, 1 hit. He did not get a decision. It was Holmes who won his 4th without a defeat. He probably pitched, I think, about a third of an inning. And then Chapman came in and got the save. So a lot of work for Cortez, and I mean, he's a team guy. I put my team position to win, and we did, but I go 7 1/3, give up no runs and 1 hit. I don't get a win. That's got to be tough. Baltimore beat the Royals 6-1 also. So the Yankees 28, the Rays 18-11 in the AL East. In the Central, the Twins 18-11, the White Sox 14-13. And then we have AL West, the Angels, Shohei Ohtani and company 19-11, and the Astros 18-11. Okay. Matt from Earlsboro, Oklahoma, Brewers, Angels, World Series. Hey, remember, didn't that happen? Was that the ALCS back then when Milwaukee played the Angels? I remember I was listening to that game on the radio years ago. So Matt is picking the Brewers and the Angels in the World Series. Eddie from Rialto in Southern California. Damn Dodgers struggling in Pittsburgh. Come on, Doyers. He said Cabbie is a drunk. I guess he listened to Cabbie's show. Eddie, you know, the Dodgers the other day against the Cubs had 4 runs on 1 hit going into the 9th inning. And they got a couple of hits in the 9th inning, and they won that game. 4 runs on 1 hit. That's because I think the Cubs walked 3 batters to load it up, and Mookie Betts lined a double down the left field line, driving all 3 runs. So it was 3-1 for a long time. They won the game 4-1, something like that. But they had 4 runs on 3 hits in that one game. Yesterday, the Dodgers were down 1-0. They weren't hitting the ball that much. The Dodgers as a team are only hitting about 236, 237. The National League average a week ago is 231. Look at the Dodgers lineup. Go on your phone right now or on the computer. Look at their hitters, how they're batting this year. Got a lot of guys that are hitting the ball horribly this year. I mean, Chris Taylor, I mean, his average is okay, but he's dropped about 50 points. He's down to about 258. He strikes out and strikes out and strikes out. He's not a power hitter. Does he think he's a power hitter? Well, he's not. Struck out 3 times yesterday, once today, twice a couple games ago. Yeah, he'll get a game-winning hit here and there, but he's not putting wood on the ball enough. Now, he strikes out a lot all the time. He's among the top hitters last year in the National League for striking out. He's picked it where he left last year. Another guy strikes out a lot, is not getting a lot of hits, Max Muncy. Yeah, he's walking a lot. His home runs, about 3, RBIs 11. But what's his average, about 140 right now? How about Justin Turner, who's been an excellent hitter his entire career? But number one in the Dodgers playoff history, I think, as far as average or RBIs, he's hitting about 171. Now, is that because he's getting older, or is there another problem? But you have JT hitting 171, only has, what, 1 or 2 home runs. Muncy, 3 home runs, hitting about 138. And 3 straight full seasons for the Dodgers, Muncy had 36 home runs, 35 and 35. Betts is up to about 260. He was bad for a while. And Steady Freddie is 320. He's just a good hitter. He hits to all fields. Lux is a little bit over 250. My head. Bellinger now is about 220, but he fluctuates between 215, 200, and 195. A lot of guys on the team are not hitting well. Will Smith in the 240s. Barnes had a good game the other day, but he's probably 230. I mean, do you consider that a good average? I don't consider averages under 260 to be good. Now, I know the marks have changed somewhat because the National League average is in the early 230s. The Dodgers are up at 230s, but they're not hitting a lot of home runs. But they're driving in runs because they work the count against starters and relief pitchers. They get a lot of walks. Teams are making errors against them. And their pitching's been very dominant this year, the Dodgers. So they're not a real impressive 19-7 team, but they're 19-7. Maybe it'll be 19-8 after tonight. We don't know. But at any rate, National League East, the Mets 20-10, the Braves 14-16. There's only one team over 500 in that division. Central, Brewers 9-10-10, the Cards 16-12. The National League West, Dodgers. Dodgers, your Los Angeles Dodgers. Dodger baseball. It's time for Dodger baseball. 19-7, and the Padres 19-10. And I think you have the Giants and Rockies with the same record playing tonight. So we'll see about that. Penguins, 6-0 Rangers, Pirates 2-0 over the Dodgers so far. Oh, yeah, Dodgers haven't scored. Maybe they have two hits. They'll have to do it later today. But as I said, they have not hit the ball really that much this year, but they're scoring runs. The Dodgers are number one or number two in the league in scoring runs. Think about them. They'll have a couple of games where they only score one or two. They'll come back and score seven or eight. So if you average everything out, they're scoring a lot of runs per game. But it's not consistent. And that's the difference. So stats are important to a degree. They don't always tell the entire story. Take the UCLA baseball team. Had those two big games against Arizona State. They had multi-digit runs in two of the three games, won them big. Since then, they lost four straight. They scored only eight runs in a three-game series at Washington. Eight runs in three games. In two of the games against Arizona State, they scored more than eight runs apiece. In fact, in two of those games, they scored, 13 and 16 runs. So different pitching, different altitude. Washington's kind of damp compared to Arizona State where the ball flies out because you have wind. So you never know. Okay, Penguins, 6-0 over the Rangers. Wow. Pirates, being the Dodgers so far, well, the Pirates are 11-16 this year, and the Dodgers have won 23 of the last 25 games against the Pirates. That's probably 13 or 14 in a row. Maybe that streak will come to an end. Tomorrow we have a game at night, and then we have a day game on Wednesday between the Dodgers and the Pirates. But the Pirates, got to love the fact the Dodgers have come to town. The Pirates lost 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati, who I guess is the worst team in Major League Baseball. And when the Dodgers come to town, the people come out. The Dodgers are always good for the concession stands, no matter who they play, because the Dodgers have fans everywhere, very much like the New York Yankees. I mean, there's a lot of people who hate the Dodgers. They hate the Yankees. They also have a lot of very devoted followers and fans like me, yours truly. I'm going to watch them no matter what. Where are you talking about? What location? Markman Madness Blog Talk Radio. Our number, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. Hey, I haven't received too many of your predictions on the games tonight. Who's winning? The Dodgers or the Pirates? The Rays or the Angels? Cubs or the Padres? Rockies or the Giants? Reds or the Brew Crew? The A's or the Tigers? The Phillies or the Mariners or the Marlins or the D-backs? How about in basketball? Who's going to take it? The Warriors or the Grizzlies? Golden State up 2-1. And how about the Bucks and the Celtics? Are you going with Boston, the Green Machine, or the Bucks? Fear the deer. Come on now. 347-205-9631. 347-205-9631. Special thanks to Jennifer Cardone, the executive director of the California Community College Athletic Association. I have to say it slower to get it out properly. The CCAA. Oh, I said that about five times today. I got it right. That's cool. Remember, the softball championships will be at Bakersfield College, and she is going to be there. And that is coming up later on in May. And then the baseball championships at Folsom Lake, that will be during Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully, I'll be broadcasting some Central Section baseball finals at Rawhide Stadium in Visalia or at Biden Field at Fresno State. And I haven't done anything there at Fresno State in, I guess, about 3 years. Because last time that the other Mark and I did some of the games, I lost my voice, by the way, after Highland High School in Bakersfield won the Division III championship. I was supposed to be play-by-play guy for the next game, the final game, and it just left me. And Mark did about 2.5 innings. And then we had a strange storm that came over. It was very cold. That game was postponed in the second inning. They replayed it, kept on playing it the following Tuesday. And Clovis just routed Frontier Bakersfield in the final. That was the last game for James Patrick, the outstanding Clovis High Cougars coach. I think he won about 5 or 6 Central Section titles in baseball. I think their team was playing on emotion because they were not that great during the course of the regular year. But just like in baseball, you get hot at the right time, which they did. They went on to win the championship that year. Last season, you had a condensed schedule. Games played until late June, and the finals were played at the side of the highest-seeded team on their home fields. Then the previous year, we didn't have any baseball. So hopefully, and prior to the games moving to the one venue at Fresno State, they were held in Visalia for a number of years. And I think some of the years I did, let's say, a couple of games in Visalia on a Friday night, then did the softball championships at Fresno State, Margie Wright Stadium, on Saturday. Another year I did softball on Friday and the baseball finals in Visalia. So I'm not sure where I'm going to be. The NFHS never hasn't told me yet. But the problem put me in Visalia and put Mark Espinosa at Fresno State, my alma mater. I think they're working it out where they're having one game at each location on Friday night and then having, three games. They only have one game on Friday and probably two games on Saturday at each site because there's only six divisions. One game Friday, two on Saturday. That makes three games apiece at each site, Rawhide Stadium and Fresno State. Whatever. They will figure it out, and I won't. Okay. Thanks a lot for listening to the program today. I appreciate it. We have coming up a 90-minute show on May 23rd because we're not having a program on Memorial Day. So on May 23rd, we're having a 90-minute show, so I will have at least two guests, and I'll be ranting and raving the rest of the time. Next week, 5 to 6, just like today. Contact me, markheff20@gmail.com or sportswrapnet@yahoo.com. My name is Mark Heffernan. Our show is produced by Mark Mancini of Mancini Media. He has a slew of programs that he produces during the week, and many times he's a co-host or one of the hosts of the program. Other times, like this show, he just kind of stays silent and continues on, and then other people do the show. But he has programs the entire week. I don't know if he has any shows on Sunday, but primarily Monday through Saturday right here on the network. You know, really interesting, I was talking to Jennifer Cardone, that she earned her undergraduate degree in physical education from Adelphi University in 1990. Now, most people haven't heard of Adelphi. She was a starting shortstop. She said she did not have and was not an exceptional hitter, but obviously she had pretty good range. Some people have excellent range, don't have great speed. And softball is about quickness and following the ball at the bat. But I'm sure she had a very good arm, and she was a team player. That's pretty interesting. That was back in 1988. And earned her master's in education administration from the University of Nebraska and Lincoln in 2000. So at Nebraska Lincoln, which I didn't mention, I think she threw it out there, she was a compliance assistant there from 94 to 97. So that's pretty much when everything got going for her as far as being in administration. And then went to UC Davis, University of California, Davis in 1997, was there until 2013, oversaw compliance services, was assistant AD, also associate AD there, then joined the CCCAA in 2014. So she worked for a CCAA school and then joined the CCCAA and is now executive director of all the athletic directors in the state, all the community colleges. I think her trying times were at UC Davis, where she oversaw the school's five-year transition, 5 years from Division II to Division I, monitored an athletic grant and aid program of $6 million, served 6 years as director of membership services, and then became interim executive director. And just like Mitch Cox last week, they liked the job she did as interim director, and she became the executive director. Awesome, because Mitch is now the commissioner of the CCAA. Thanks a lot for listening to the program tonight. Remember our number, 347-205-9631, 347-205-9631. I'm Mark Heffernan. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Markman Madness on Blog Talk Radio. We are MMM. Good night.